It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Welcome once again to It's a Good Life. I trust you'll have your Bibles open today to Romans chapter 3. We're going to pick up there with Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. It says there, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." But now, we look in this verse and we see those words, "but now." And these words indicate a turning point in the book. Well, up until now, this verse, what Paul has said has been bad news. Well, there's no doubt that Paul has shown man's guilt and condemnation. Paul has shown every man to be a lost and doomed sinner, guilty before God, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. But Paul says in verse 21 of chapter 3, "but now." And he wants to share the good news. Well, the good news is that God has a wonderful plan, and the plan of salvation, and that is the word justification. Well, this is whereby sinful men may be declared righteous before a holy God. But now. These words indicate a drastic change in the movement of this letter, the book of Romans, that Paul's written. The next verses are crucially important. Dr. Alva J. McLean has said the following about Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. He says, "This section is the very heart of the book of Romans. For this reason, all Christians ought to memorize verses 21 through 26. He goes on to say, "I would select these six verses." And he continues by saying, all of God's gospel, his good news, is there is a way found nowhere else in the Word of God. And this comes from his writings, the gospel of God's grace. There is nothing like this in all of God's gospel, he says. Well, now beginning in verse 21 and continuing to the end of the chapter, and there's a key word which is found repeatedly. It's the word righteousness or justified. The word righteousness and the word justified mean the same thing. Verses 21 and 22 speak of the word, and it says the word righteousness, and in verse 24, we see the word justified. Well, verse 25, righteousness, and verse 26, righteousness, and just and justifier. Justify means to declare or to pronounce righteous. Well, the key question is this: how can a righteous God save an unrighteous man and still remain righteous in doing so? Well, this question is seen in verse 26. How can God be just and at the same time justify the sinner? Well, that God can righteously judge a sinner, there is no problem, because this is what justice means. But how can God justify and acquit a wicked person without compromising his own righteousness? Well, God will not at all acquit the wicked, according to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, and that is, he will not leave the guilty unpunished. And yet, in order to save wicked sinners, God must do this very thing. Now, this shouldn't be confusing, but you see, this is a problem that is solved and answered only by the cross, the death of Christ. Christ was punished in our place as our substitute so that we might be acquitted. In verse 21, it talks about the righteousness of God. It talks about it being manifested. In other words, it becomes clear. This is what Paul stated in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Well, after Romans 1:17, God's righteousness is not mentioned again until this verse in verse 21 of chapter 3. See, first, Paul wanted to show us how much we need the righteousness of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." But now notice this. Verse 21 uses the term without law. Absolutely apart from is what this means. Apart from, where without also means absolutely apart from. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, it says, He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Well, this is speaking of Abraham. This righteousness, which Paul is speaking of here, has nothing to do with keeping the law or with legal works of any kind. It has no connection whatsoever with the law. It is the grace of God, not the law of God, that gives man this righteousness. And once again, you go back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, God speaking of Abraham, he counted his righteousness by faith. He became righteous through faith. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, we can learn about the righteousness of God that is apart from the law. And as we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, which he had promised, he witnessed, in other words, afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Well, note this, without law, without the law. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 once again speaks of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, well, these verses point to God's righteousness before the law was given. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Well, this is before the law was given. When we read about faith producing righteousness, faith is not just in anything or anyone, but faith in God, the true God. Well, secondly, we see by the law in the verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, by the law, it says the law, what it's saying here, the law of the different sacrifices were insufficient in themselves to take away sins. And this pointed to the great sacrifice in which God would be fully glorified as well as his righteousness satisfied. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. See, sins can only be taken away by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, notice the faith of God, the righteousness of God. And it's also witnessed by the prophets. In Isaiah 53:11, it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. He shall bear their iniquities. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6 says, in his days Jeremiah shall be saved, and Isaiah shall dwell safely. And this his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. It takes a righteous God to save an ungodly sinner. Well, we are not saved by Christ keeping the law, according to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, because righteousness does not and cannot come by the law. Salvation is totally because of the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, you are not saved by works. You are not saved by anything that you can do. You are saved by and through Jesus Christ, by trusting him as Savior. Now notice, in verse 22 of Romans chapter 3, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Well, notice the term by faith here. This is the righteousness of God, and it is received by faith of Jesus Christ, the verse says. In other words, it's the faith of Jesus Christ, not his faith, but our faith. This means that by faith, my faith has the crucified and risen Christ as its object. Galatians 2:20, you can read that later on if you would. And then we see that the verse and words, all who believe, Romans chapter 1:16 speaks of this, all who believe receive the righteousness of God. Well, nowhere in the Bible is universalism taught that all men will eventually be saved. The Bible teaches us salvation is offered and made available to all, but which benefits only those who believe. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, you can compare this if you would. And you see, God limits the benefits of his salvation only to those who appropriate them by faith. Well, notice verse 23 of Romans chapter 3 now. It says, I would title this now, of course, this section that we're looking at right now is coming up short. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, the last part of verse 22 and all of verse 23 may be thought of as a sharing thought connected, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All men are in the same boat. And the boat's going down. All means all. And that's all that all means. Well, there's no exception. Jesus Christ, without sin, he sinned not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it says this, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin. He's the only one who did no sin. You see, the Bible teaches us that he's the only sinless person who ever walked this earth. Everybody else, all have sinned from Adam all the way down to the time we live and beyond until Jesus Christ comes to set up his throne. And even then, when he sets up his throne, man is still a sinner. All have sinned. Well, how many are lost today? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, what? The iniquity of us all. Well, that's Christ. Christ had our iniquity laid upon him. The iniquity of us all. So there's no doubt that Paul is saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, a person, although the sin of people, it was laid upon Jesus Christ, these sins, but the person must take advantage of that by saying, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. I receive you as my Savior. Then and only then can Jesus become your Savior when you acknowledge the fact that he died for you. See, we don't measure up to God's standards. We've missed the mark on our own. We've missed God's target of righteousness. Do you know him today as your Savior? Have you trusted him? Have you received him? Have you asked him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I know I can't save myself. I'm trusting you today to save me so that I can go to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you'll realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you've heard that today. If you realize that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost, and that you, if you've never trusted him, you need to ask him to come into your heart. And I've just gone through that. If you repent, what does that mean? That means you change your mind. You've changed your mind. You're not going to go your way from this point on, but you want to go God's way. You want to go Jesus Christ's way. You want to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And one day, after you've done that, one day you'll see Jesus in heaven and you'll be able to thank him personally for saving your soul. May God save you today by you trusting in him as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.